Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, where we are live from the Business Radio X studio in the East Valley and brought to you by the women who lived it. I'm your host, Joanne Holland, along with my co-host, Karen Nowicki.
Hello.
And we have a treat today. We have a gentleman joining us as we recognize men may at times assist us in our journey of being our best. So we're welcome to the program. I have Jessica Adande and Timmy Holland, and I'm going to begin by letting them introduce themselves. So Jessica, please introduce yourself.
Thank you for having me, Joanne and Karen. I really appreciate it. This is very exciting. My name is Jessica Adnani, and I started a business called Personalized Solutions 6 years ago in Washington, D.C. It's a concierge service. We work with corporations, small businesses, and high net worth individuals. It's basically any service that helps streamline a lifestyle. So event planning, travel planning, estate management, yacht management, staffing. You name it, and we try and do it. So instead of going to a million different places to get your lifestyle to flow in an organized and effective way, I decided to create a solution that covers all those bases. So I'm actually launching in Scottsdale in 2018. I'm really excited about it. I think that this is going to be a really strong market, and I'm very happy to be here today.
Great. Thank you. And Timmy, share a little bit about you.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on, both of you. Thank you. It's actually my first time on a radio or on a recording at all, so please.
You're doing very well so far.
I'm so sorry if I flub up or something, but thank you again. So I'm actually a student right now. I'm a senior at the Catholic University of America. I'm about to finish my degree in finance in May of 2018, so it's super exciting. So I have a lot of future ahead of me, hopefully, God willing. But I was actually born and raised here in the Valley. I attended Brophy College Preparatory over in Phoenix, so traveling from Chandler to Phoenix every day, definitely got a lot of experience in the Valley, and I love it. It's always fun to come home, especially to the weather. But thank you again for having me on.
So it sounds like we have the DC Arizona connection today,
I
Karen.
I love it. Absolutely.
So with that, I want to start off with Jessica. So you graduated almost 7 years ago from college.
Can we stop right there for just a second?
Sure.
You're so young. I mean, I'm thinking 7 years ago, what, from elementary school?
No. So I started Personalized Solutions at the age of 23. So
right,
pretty much right out of college. And then after that, I had another startup that I actually wound up selling about a year after starting it, which I won't get into today because that's a whole story for another time.
Good. We'll have you back for that story.
But after college, I graduated at a time where the job market was just really, really tough. And I'd studied political science and Middle East studies. I'd had an amazing scholarship from the U.S. State Department to study Arabic and live in Egypt. So I spent the second semester of my junior year of college in Cairo. Best experience of my life. After that, I spent a month in Europe. And then my senior year, I get back to small town Ohio. Oxford, Ohio is where my university is.
Gosh.
And I loved my university, don't get me wrong, but I got back and after living in a city like Egypt, I said, oh, I got to get back to the city. So I did one semester senior year in DC, and then I applied for our Inside Washington program. So I left my second semester senior year, which is the glory days.
Yeah.
And I moved to DC, and it's a really exclusive program, 12 students accepted. And it's great. You get to meet all these different leaders throughout Washington, business leaders, political leaders, you name it. And after that, I just stayed and was like, okay, I'm going to find a job here in DC. I really like this. That didn't really happen. I applied and I couldn't find anything in the political space. The government was on a hiring freeze. So I said, why don't I build a business on the things that I'm passionate about and the things that I'm good at and see where it takes me? Because I've got nothing to lose except for these student loans. So that's exactly right. What I did.
And look at you, 7 years later. I mean, you've got an impressive client list. You've got an impressive experience. Have already sold at least one business, right?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And so with that, Timmy, I know, you know, Jessica talked about her amazing experience in Egypt. So share a little bit of what you did last semester, second semester, junior year.
Yeah. So second semester, junior year, I had the amazing opportunity of studying abroad in Rome, which was amazing just because I love history and art. And if I could go back, I would minor in one of those studies. But I really got a feel for all of that. And just coming from small town Arizona, moving to Washington, D.C., which was just a culture shock there in itself, and then going off to Rome and traveling all over the continent of Europe, it was just truly amazing. I had so many experiences with so many of my friends. Luckily, there were 72 people in my program, all from Catholic University. So it was basically coming from D.C. and going straight to Rome with all of your best friends, which is a remarkable experience that I was so lucky to have. But yeah, it was...
What's one of the countries? I know you were visiting 7, 9 countries while you were there?
Yeah, something like that. 9 to 11.
What was your favorite?
Yeah.
People always ask me this question, and I feel like it's a different answer every single time.
That's good. That means it was all great.
I know, truly. So for spring break, we went to Ireland, which is always fun just because it's Ireland.
And spring break.
Yes, truly. We were super tired. We got into our hostel and we're just like basically study abroad students. And we were just like, what are we going to do? And so we just started wandering and wandering. And none of us really had anything we wanted to do in Dublin. So just wandering with your friends in a kind of a foreign area is just such an experience you have and such a connection you hold with some people. And then Barcelona, we did a guy's trip out to Barcelona. So obviously that was a blast.
My daughter is 21. She was in Barcelona this summer and she loved it. She has some American airline benefits, flight benefits. So she's been taking full advantage of it all year. Her favorite place so far was Barcelona.
Yes, it was so nice. We were lucky enough to go in late April. So it was a little bit warmer, but not warm enough to go into the water, which I was thankful for. But it was so nice. We just got to stay on the beach and kind of hang out and go see all the sights.
You want to know what's so funny about your study abroad story compared to mine is I decided I'm going to Egypt and I'm really excited. I don't speak Arabic and I don't know anyone in Egypt. And I met these girls via this Facebook group that I decided, okay, yeah, we'll live together. This will be great. So I get off the plane. Like I said, I don't speak Arabic and all these cab drivers are hassling you. And I'm just like, this is where I got to go. Like I can barely pronounce the name of the street that I'm headed to, but you know, we get there. I walk into this apartment and they go, oh, we already found someone to take your spot. And I go, okay, so I'm homeless in a country where I don't speak the language. This is fun. I've got my BlackBerry and I call my parents and I was like, so small problem. And they're like, okay, well, you know, find a hotel, do that for a couple of nights. And then I get a call a few days later. And one of the girls says, how about we just share a bed all semester? You know, you're really great. And I think that this will just work out. So my entire stay in Egypt was I slept on one half of a king size bed with another girl who ended up becoming one of my closest friends, as you can imagine.
You'd have to.
But, you know, you go with 72 of your best friends and I go with absolutely no one. But you figure it out.
Yeah, you truly do. And that's one thing. We always realize like, wow, this is an experience that like not a lot of people have. And like some people go abroad just to go and to be like they go by themselves and but they still have a remarkable time. But we always said like, we don't deserve this. Oh my gosh, like this is truly incredible. But we are always thankful for it. And we always let everyone know how thankful we were for our
experiences. And to travel like that so young is neat because so many people dream of those kinds of travel experiences, whether they're, you know, to study and connected with education or simply just to travel. There's a lot of women and men for that matter who get to, you know, their stages in life and family and jobs and businesses to run, and they never get that opportunity. So to have been bit by the travel bug and get to experience the world the way that you do, are there places that you'd like to you'd like to go in the next couple of years that you have yet to experience?
Oh my gosh, I have quite a list.
I asked that kind of facetiously.
I hadn't been able to travel abroad. I'd been to Canada, I'd been to Mexico. I don't consider that abroad because financially we couldn't afford it. And when I got this scholarship from the State Department, it really opened doors for me. And we did spring break in Greece that year. And then I rented a car after my semester ended in Egypt, in Europe, drove around Europe, which was an amazing experience because I really felt like I got an authentic experience of just getting to see the countryside and how it all connects. And since then, I've been able to do Turkey and a few other places, but I love the Middle East. So I definitely want to get back. I have a lot of family who live abroad. So definitely want to hit everywhere in the Middle East, hopefully get to Barcelona because I've heard such amazing things from absolutely everyone. But yeah, I think that being able to travel abroad is something that helps you in business too, because it helps you see and understand the world in a different way.
Yes. Helps you in business and life, relationships, an opportunity to give back and to expand your humor as well as your culture and your dignity and just your love. Absolutely. Timmy, how about you? Where would you like to go in the future?
So I always say I always wanted to get to Lisbon. Never got there, but that's my number one. But I also always remembered that here in the US, we have so many cities we've never like traveled around to. And moving across from Chandler over to Washington, D.C., I just kind of saw that culture shock I had in itself. And I was like, there must be so many places in America that I could go see. So that's always, I always want to travel the country as well as also abroad. One thing you mentioned about business as well is in Rome, one of my first things was that it's overrun by study abroad students. And so all of the shops and all of the restaurants, all there speak English and they all cater to American students all the time. So it's completely changed their economy. And Rome's economy, I think, is 90% based off of tourism. So if getting rid of all those study abroad students, where would Rome be? And just Italians always like to complain about us because we were obnoxious. but we knew that.
But that's part of the experience.
Exactly. Exactly. Being the pack of Americans that travels together.
Yeah.
But it's so interesting to go over there and see that, like, wow, while we are kind of a nuisance, it does really affect them, really impact their economy.
Well, and I think traveling too, I think to me what you're saying is because you did travel as a child, I mean, but it's very different when you go with your parents than when you do it alone. So going to San Francisco, going to Orlando, going to Detroit, going to New York and Niagara Falls and London and Paris. And unfortunately, you were very little. And I, of course, I keep showing in the pictures, you were here. See, you were here. You were in Paris. You were in London. You were little, but you were there. And but you do get a whole different experience when it's by yourself. And that's what the incredible journey is. Now, which was your most expensive city that you visited in Europe, that would you say?
Most expensive was probably London, just because going from the dollar to the euro to the pound is insane. And everything there is just expensive. The pound is such an expensive currency. That was probably most expensive. The place where I spent the most money was probably Prague, because I did wake up in my hotel room when my plane was taking off to go back to Rome.
No.
But then I woke up, booked another flight, and went right back to sleep. So that kind of cost me a little bit, but it's all about the experience. So I have no regrets of living all that.
Absolutely.
That's great. So tell us a little bit, you know, Jessica, you talked about the importance in business of understanding the world and the cultures and the different types. Where do you think that helped you when working with your clients from Personalized Solutions?
So my clients have traveled around the world and they've done business around the world. So having the experience of being able to walk in and at least understand a sliver of that has given me such an advantage, I think, to people who haven't been as fortunate as I have to be able to travel and study in a foreign place. Also, I think being able to leave your comfort zone completely behind and figure out, all right, so I don't have anywhere to live. I don't speak the language. I don't know what I'm doing, but I've got to figure it out. That helps you as an entrepreneur because that's exactly what building a business is. You really don't know what's going to happen. You're not showing up 9 to 5. You don't have anyone giving you your 401k or your health insurance. You're figuring every step out yourself. And there's really no good guidebook for that. No. So with my clients, having that worldly experience, I think it helps give a sense of respect, just a greater understanding of how the world works, which I think helps all of us as human beings, no matter what realm of business you're in. So I recommend it to everyone. Travel as much as you can if you have the opportunities.
Wow, I think we just heard a book that may be written here.
No doubt. That'll be launching in 2019. Yes. Stay tuned.
Look at you, already on the path
on the path. And Timmy, as you look at the prospect of business, as far as going to work after you graduate college in DC, and where do you see yourself? What do you want to do first as far as living? I know when we were in Rome, when we visited you, one of the best comments as a parent that I took was the fact that you said you recognized and you realized that you could live anywhere in the world and be just fine. And that is such a great thing to hear. That is great. But where do you want to take this journey? Where do you think you want to take this journey after?
So like you said, right now, I have nothing holding me down. So I could literally move anywhere. If I got a job offer in London, I'd probably take it just because. but right now, I'm really looking to stay over in DC, New York area. obviously New York is a busy, busy city. And if there's a time to do it, it's when you're 22, 21, graduating college. That's when you want to do it. So yeah, really looking to stay out back east, maybe Chicago, because Chicago's really booming. Raleigh is coming up. All those cities that are up and coming for millennials, because I'm a diehard millennial. As much as I would want to get around it, I am.
So but all being in Arizona and in Chicago is a giant liability for, you know, just happy living. I think you might freeze to death.
Yes, definitely. Some seasonal stuff might come in, but, you know, we'll deal with it as it comes.
Hey, there's always those foot and hand warmers and jackets. Yes. Absolutely.
I'm sure there's a tanning bed nearby.
Make you feel right at home.
Yes. Get some UVs in me.
Yeah, I think that. So something I'd like to talk about, too, is something you both shared at a different time. So both of you were engaged very much in your college experience and enjoying it. So what we found out they have in common is at the same time, obviously different years, but Jessica was also the chair of her program board at her university, and Timmy is the current chair or the current president of his program board at Catholic University. So kind of share what that experience did that you enjoyed about it that kind of took you into the business. And Timmy, kind of tell us what you're doing about it after.
So on campus, it was really important for me to be really, really involved. I didn't want a free second that I didn't take full advantage of this experience that, you know, I'm paying a lot of money for. But I was involved with Campus Activities Council as well as Program Board. And Program Board was different than Campus Activities in the sense that we were bringing speakers and things that were really going to enlighten our student body, but still be something exciting. So, you know, like a Sheryl Sandberg type person, something that everyone can get a lot out of. And then Campus Activities Council was, okay, we're going to have Bill Cosby, or we're going to have this person, or we're going to have that person, something, you know, comedian, entertaining. So having the experience of both, I think, helped me now in my career. I do a ton of event planning, and being able to do that in college and understand the logistics that go behind getting 16,000 people interested in something was huge. And I'm sure that you feel the same way. I mean, Catholic, you're trying to corral a lot of people to all of your events all the time.
Yes, definitely. And we have, at Catholic, we have a very eclectic group, as all college campuses do. But when you have undergrads of around 3,000, 3,500, you think it's kind of easier to get the word out about events and you think it's easier to pull them in, but it's actually kind of harder because getting that ratio or that percentage that you need to prove yourself to like Dean of Students or Office of Campus Activities. We have campus ministry as well because we're Catholic. But to get that is so tough and so stressful. This year, we've been very blessed to be pulling in 2/3 of the student body to almost every single one of our events. So how our program board got started was Catholic has in the past has had a retention problem. So they were like, how do we fix this? How do we fix this? How do we fix this? And program board started 35 years ago this year, actually. We had that retention problem and they just kept asking and students just kept saying, we need stuff to do on campus while... In the past, they were like, well, we live in D.C. Students will go out in D.C. and do stuff. Like, that's what we're here for. They live in the city. And students kind of voiced their opinions of wanting to do stuff on campus. So that's where Program Board came in. And that's kind of where we get a lot of our funding and a lot of our kind of name recognition because we are good at what we do. So I lead a board of 29 event planners and marketers. So it's really exciting just kind of to see everyone do their thing. And I was an event planner before this. So seeing people have a vision of their event, and Jessica, you can probably attest to this, seeing people have a vision of their event that's going on or their marketing plan that's going on and execute it so well is just such a good feeling.
It's the best feeling when everything just kind of starts falling into place. Yes. And you're seeing all these people at your event having an amazing time.
Oh my gosh.
It's one of the best feelings because there's so much work and so much teamwork that goes into it. And then teamwork is another huge aspect of business. So while I run a very, overall small team of people, it's really, really important that we all feel as if we're collaborating together and it's not some kind of dictatorship. And yes, that's, I think, a great aspect of being involved on your campuses, which I'm sure you feel the same way. It's nice to know you've got other people who can back you up if you need it and you'll back them up.
Yeah, definitely. It's always nice to see memories and laughs and just in pure enjoyment coming out of every student going to our events or getting a free thing at our events, walking out from a de-stress event and just kind of feeling better about finals week or midterms week and just kind of really knowing that they are cared about around campus. And it's really important these days that college students, have stuff to do. And other than get into trouble, because that's way too easy.
And feel like your campus is home, right? That's kind of what I was hearing, and maybe I'm making an assumption, but when the feedback from the students was, listen, yes, we're here in DC because we want to experience the city and the history and the politics and whatever they were drawn for. At the end of the day, they come back to their dorms and or apartments, and they want to feel like they have a connection there first, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And so you guys have made that transition beautifully, it sounds like, to say, yes, we know we can go out and do all this. You're going to provide that for us, and we'll seek it on our own. But let's bring it back home and provide that close-knit connection. That's what keeps them coming back for more.
Yes.
And with connections, I think part of what we know is that they're always around us and they take us to different levels. So I know, Timmy, 2 years ago, was it 2 years ago that you planned the mistletoe ball?
It was last year.
Oh, last year. Timmy called home and called a mom and said, hey, mom, I know you have a Ritz-Carlton connection. Do you have one in DC? And I said, as a matter of fact, I do. So where was Catholic University's mistletoe ball that Timmy co-chaired?
Sweet.
It was at the Ritz-Carlton, DC. And the great thing is, he sent us a text message with a picture and said it was one of the most successful mistletoe ball they had ever held at Catholic. It was the most attended. So he showed us the picture of 750 of my closest friends are here all dressed up at the mistletoe ball this evening. So those connections, too, are really important. So bringing it back home to Arizona, that it's just not being away, but it's also utilizing what you have here and the important connections, whether it's business, whether it's personal, whether it's school, there's always home. And so with that, share a little bit too, Jessica, where you grew up and what took you to Miami of Ohio.
Oh boy. So I've been fortunate enough, and I say fortunate because I think that this has also helped me in business and in life and in personal relationships to live all around the United States. So I was born in Orange County, California. And if you ask me where home is, that is the definition of home. That's where a majority of my family still resides. I went to elementary school in rural Michigan in a place called Marcellus. It's actually considered a village, not a town, because the population is that small that they cannot be considered a town. So that was an experience. Middle school, I went outside of Akron, Ohio. So yeah, that's middle school. And then high school, I went to All Girls College Preparatory in Baltimore, Maryland. I went to college at Miami University of Ohio, and then I lived in Egypt for my study abroad, and then I finished out in our Inside Washington program in D.C. So as you can see, I've been all over.
You've been a traveler since you were little.
Exactly. So I have friends genuinely from all across the world and all across the United States, and being able to reinvent yourself and kind of keep picking up the pieces as a kid, it teaches you this resiliency. Yes. So when you start a business, you're able to know, okay, well, I did this so many times in my life prior, I can do this again with a business. And that's how I feel about launching Personalized Solutions in Scottsdale is, hey, I can do this again. I did it before. Do it again. It worked out well then. It's going to work out even better now because I know a lot more than I did then. But why did I choose Miami of Ohio? Everyone wonders. I applied to 40 different universities because I did not know where I wanted to go. Living in Ohio is a great experience because the people are extraordinarily friendly, and Ohio itself is a huge college state. You have so many different kinds of universities there. So I went and visited all 40. My parents wanted to probably kill me.
That's a few.
I love it. And when I stepped on foot at Miami, I said, this just feels right. I'm going to do it, you know? Why not? And it's a town that's built around the college. So it's very, very inclusive. Unlike your experience at Catholic, where you have a giant city with all these things going on. Definitely. I had a university with all these things going on and a town that only exists to support those university students. So it was a very, very unique situation. And I wouldn't change it for the world. It was fantastic.
But you knew when you landed on campus that that was the place for you.
I really, you know, I'm a city person. I will tell you that day in and day out. I am no country bumpkin.
Right.
But being able to go to school in a really kind of remote place where everything revolves around that, it was a good experience for me. And it was just something different. I said, I'm going to live in cities for the rest of my life. Right now is the only time I ever am going to go live in a cornfield in Ohio or anywhere for that matter.
Right. Wow.
And Timmy, so your journey is a little bit different. Obviously born in Scottsdale. And lived in Tempe.
Yes.
And then Chandler.
Yes.
And but going to school, both public and parochial. So which took you to Tempe in the parochial time and then at Brophy for your preparatory.
Yes.
Yeah, as a Jesuit. So tell us kind of how your journey ended up in D.C. And it's funny because I'll share, and Timmy never stepped a foot on Catholic University's campus before he went there.
Oh, he told me that, which was mind-boggling to me.
However, to share the story, so Timmy has an older sister who's 8 years older than him, and during her college time, she had looked at Catholic. I had gone back to D.C. to Catholic University because that was one of the universities she was looking at attending. And it was so funny when Timmy started talking about college, I said, Timmy, you should look at some of these or whatever. And every college he applied to, we asked him, do you want to go visit? No, no. What was there? Was University of Wisconsin at Madison. There was had
too
never
cold.
Too cold, but he had never attended any of these. But he goes, I'm going to apply when he decided I'm going to go to Catholic. And they did give him a very good scholarship, a very good ride. And my husband's like, how can he go to the school? He's never been there. And I told him, he'll be fine.
Shed a little light on that, which because I did the opposite experience. I went back to Miami twice before I signed that commitment form.
Gosh. I don't even know. I always just kind of knew that. So in high school, I wasn't very involved. I was just kind of like passing my classes, getting by, doing what I could just to kind of fall below the radar other than speech and debate, which I was heavily involved in. So in college, I was like, maybe I'll get involved or maybe I'll get a job, just work my job and like kind of just exist, which is so sad to say. But thankfully, I didn't do that. So I knew that anywhere I went, I would either get really involved or just kind of keep doing what I was doing. And so I knew that I was going to make the school. The school wasn't going to make my experience. Mm-hmm. So I knew that anywhere I went, I would have fun. And so then I was like, all right, let's narrow it down. City. I want to be in a city. So then there was University of San Francisco or Catholic University. And I was like, you know what? Catholic sounds fun. That's far. And it was May 2nd, and you have to tell them you're going on May 1st. And I was like, oh my gosh. I ran into my mother's office and was like, we didn't do this. And we were getting dressed for baccalaureate mass at my high school. And I was like, she was like, well, where do you want to go? And I was like, Catholic. And she was like, are you sure? And I was like, yeah, I guess so. And so then I just packed my bags in August and showed up on orientation day and kind of just...
The rest is history.
Exactly.
Well, the only thing, as a parent having that conversation with him about Catholic, the only thing I made sure to talk to him when I said, are you sure? I said, Timmy, understand, going to a Catholic university, there are going to be expectations that you wouldn't have at another thing. Is church one of those expectations? Mm-hmm. Yes. Is practicing your faith? Yes. As long as he knew that, okay, then it's all good. And that was our thing as a parent to say, your job is to get in to wherever you want to go. Don't worry about the other part of it. That's our job as a parent. We'll figure that out. So he did his job, got a great ride to Catholic. When we took him out to D.C., it was so funny because I'll never forget that first night that my husband goes, you were right. He does belong here. Like even he could
what
tell.
What nice affirmation.
Yeah, that,
oh, gosh.
that he belonged here and he's made it to what you've made it today. And maybe let's talk about that a little bit about, so tell us what you're involved in this year besides program board. I know there's a few things because the other thing you've always done is you've worked since you've been at school and he hasn't come home after freshman year in the summer. He has stayed and
the
lived.
Whole time, yes.
Yeah. So you have never come home. And I think those are some of your greatest experiences so far.
Yeah. So freshman year, I came home for the summertime and I was just like, oh, I'll work here. I had a good job. I ended up being the manager at a medical supply store and it was really rewarding. I gained so much experience and so many contacts and it was just a great gig. Then I went back to DC and I was like, wow, this just feels like home now. Like, even though I'm living in a dorm room still, my sophomore year, I was living in a dorm room. I was like, I think this is, I just need to like be here. And then so I heard about this position called summer assistant, which you're basically a summer RA, a resident assistant.
And because his parents said, we're not paying for rent in D.C. If you want a job in D.C., it must include your
housing,
board, room. Yeah, housing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I just want to put that little tidbit in.
So I knew I had to get a gig where I didn't have to pay any money to be in D.C. for the
Perfect.
Summer. And at the same time, I needed to get paid. So those
are very small pool
exactly.
of positions like that. I haven't found one. So,
but yeah, so I applied for that, interviewed, ended up getting it. Didn't realize how much work it would entail.
And round the clock sometimes.
Yes. But yeah, because I was on call for 24 hours for an entire week. So that was exciting. But so yeah, they told me we're not paying for it. We're not, we fully support you if you do it, but we're not, we just aren't going to pay for it. Yeah. We have so many other things going on that when you could come home and work here, we have so many job opportunities for you, which I was like, no, I have to figure this out.
Yep.
And from freshman year, they had told me not to get a job my first semester freshman year, just to try and figure myself out, get acclimated. And after a month, I was like, I'm so bored. So I went and got a job. And so I had some experience because that was my first job. That was my first paycheck, really, coming out of high school.
And tell them what you did.
I worked for the Department of Public Safety.
I sat
around campus with a vest on and people would ask me to walk them around campus if they felt unsafe.
That's great.
In my entire year, I made zero walks. So I basically just sat. I got paid to sit and do my homework.
Yeah.
That was very
That's
ideal.
Incredible.
Okay, let's hope yes. No one from Catholics listening to that.
Well, but the idea that you were there to help out.
Right.
I
yes,
mean, that's the
exactly.
key. Yeah, and the fact that people feel safe enough that they are getting around where they need to. That's great.
Yeah, so then when I got the summer position my sophomore year, I ended up working for that department all of my sophomore year. Which was great. I loved my boss. There was so much like affirmation and positive reinforcement, which I never had in the work experience before. So I just loved that. I learned so much, so many leadership things from him. And I never realized that how much you learn from your boss. And then the summer after my sophomore year, going into my junior year, I worked that same position again. Just a promoted position for summer housing coordinator. So I coordinated all the conference guests coming in, all the interns coming in and out. It was crazy. But then going into junior year, I still worked that position. And this, my senior year now, I actually just got a new position with the business school because they heard about what I was doing at my position at Benton Conference Services. And I just took the new position.
Very good.
So it's sad to go, but... Time has come.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. That's really exciting. You're doing a lot on campus. And a lot of people, like you said, just exist and let those 4 years kind of fly by. And you're defining your 4 years. And I always think that that's the better way to go.
Yeah. And that's why one of the things I got, that's one of the reasons I got involved in program board, because I saw so many people and so many of my friends just kind of existing and wanting to do other stuff, but not knowing what. And so getting involved and being able to say like, hey, I have this event tonight. Like, why don't you come by? Just feel it out. And then like, maybe you'll like this university a little bit better. And so many people are just so grateful for that. And it's just always such a rewarding experience, just kind of giving people what they want and what they need in terms of success.
And what's one of the concerts you held recently?
So every year we have Capital Fest and it's called Capital Fest. That's what we call it at Catholic University. it's just a big concert. That we have in the fall. And that's one of our big retention savers is people stay at Catholic because they think like, wow, this is such a cool university. They have a big concert, which a lot of universities do. But because we're smaller, it's still amazing that we get the opportunity to have it. So this year, we actually had the Plain White Tees come on. Last year, we had Mr. Wives come on. And the year before that, we had Wonk the Moon. So just getting this hands-on experience as a student, getting all the experience just working with bands and working with their writers and working with their management teams, working with their agents,
you
kind of see every single aspect of it. And we just, we always sit back and realize like, this is what people are paid to do. Like, this is their jobs. We're sitting here doing it for free. We're either really smart getting experience or we're just dumb and doing free labor.
No, but that's the thing that's so defining now is that so many millennials don't realize how much work is actually involved in work and maintaining a job or building a business. And you just want the title and you want the money.
Yes.
So people like you are going to get into the workforce and understand how the world works as opposed to so many others who expect things to just come so easily or be handed to them. And that will define your future in a really, really positive way, and you'll get much further ahead than a lot of your peers.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's crazy looking around and seeing people at Cath there at any university, really, at any college age, any millennial, and you can kind of pick out like what people are going to do and
or who has a work ethic and who doesn't.
Yes.
They stand out the fastest. There's a huge divide.
Yes,
yeah, there are some who are like you two, on it. constantly thinking, preparing, having fun along the way, but also being very wise. Like, I keep thinking you're both very wise beyond your years. And then there's also another group that are just like looking for the free ride or the opportunity or, you know, hey, I'll worry about it, you know, someday. And I'm not going to be too concerned about it until I have to land there. Meanwhile, racking up debt and a lack of opportunity to step into leadership roles. So kudos to both of you. Jessica, I'm curious, when we talk about, would you describe your business as a concierge service then, from event planning to, give us an example of maybe one of the neatest projects you've done with one of your clients.
I have a couple of those. I will do, for an event planning perspective, the New York Yacht Club actually hired me to plan their Chesapeake Bay cruise. So that was a 5-stop cruise throughout the Chesapeake Bay, which is about an hour outside of DC. Fun fact, all my clients have boats and I don't know anything about boats and I get really boat sick. So I was like, oh, this is going to be great. I can't wait. I don't even know all the terminology that is involved in yachting, but I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the preparations and planning for that started about a year and a half in advance. It was site visits, making sure that we had enough spaces for all of these different boats. We are dealing with some incredibly, incredibly demanding clientele. The New York Yacht Club is very, very exclusive. Mm-hmm. And being able to know what all of these people who had signed up to participate are expecting, being able to provide all of that, make sure that all of their events, when they do dock and get on land, are taken care of to a T. Because this isn't just, you know, some country little boating experience. This is making a country experience a New York City experience.
Right.
And that was really, really rewarding. And it was actually, they said, one of the best cruises that they've ever had. So I built a nice relationship with the New York Yacht Club. And then during Hillary Clinton's campaign, I was fortunate enough to get to throw a really great exclusive fundraiser for her, which means everything from dealing with the Secret Service to dealing with getting, making sure all of our donations were in. And that was really a fantastic moment in my life because, one, I got to meet, you know, the Secretary of State. And two, it's just a completely different realm doing event planning on the political end. And then that led to a lot of other political fundraisers. Once I'd done that, the ball kind of kept rolling. But every day is different. And that's why I really love what I do, is it's a new challenge and a new adventure every morning when I wake up.
Well, you know, and Timmy, I think too, you got to experience one of the largest visits from someone who came to your university visit, and that was Pope Francis. And the whole university changed during his 4-day visit at Catholic. But the great thing that I always appreciate is Timmy had a fantastic seat for the mass, for the canonization mass. And even had better seats than some of our Arizona delegates that we had to attend. It's because he was straight on, point blank. So share a little bit about how that changed the whole, how the university was notified. Obviously, you were part of program board, so you saw firsthand against Secret Service.
Yeah, so we didn't actually have a hand in planning that just because it's the Pope. So even if they had offered, I would have said no because I did not need that much liability on my hands. I can barely have the liability of a student riding a mechanical bull on campus, in my hands, let alone
the Pope.
The Pope coming to visit. So, but seeing all that, yeah, it was amazing. You just see from such a big event, you have the landscapers come in the day before and it just completely changes everything. But the week before, we had stages being set up. We had CNN cameras over there. We had MSNBC. We had every single news agency there and roaming around campus and getting students to answer questions. And we had been notified to just kind of like watch out. Because we are the Catholic University of America, we are directly connected to the Vatican. So if anything comes out of Catholic University, it comes out of the Vatican, which means our students have to be very careful. So we were just kind of notified about all of that. But you see everything from the landscapers, the staging, the people getting onto the rooftops to film. You saw after the Pope left, a couple days later, we actually got a tour of like everything that they had to do. And we went up into the attic of one of the old buildings. It's one of the oldest buildings on campus. And there was a chair set up next to a window. And we were like, what? Why is that chair there? Like, who was viewing from up here? And they're like, oh, no, that was one of the snipers.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, I cannot imagine having an event where I have to arrange snipers. let alone like with 3,000 people there, I think. But students were lucky enough. Every single student that went into the raffle ended up getting a ticket to go see the Pope.
Everybody.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, which was amazing. So nice. What a blessing.
I know.
Is it? And then how many students were, how should I say, their housing was taken over? Share that little story.
Oh, yeah. So Catholic University's housing is kind of all over campus just because we've grown so much. You can't go higher or lower once you've already built, basically, in DC, especially because you can only go so high because of planes and the Washington Monument. You can't be higher than that, all that jazz. But so we're very spread out. But right in the center of a campus is Centennial Village, which is a housing unit that ended up having to be closed off while the Pope was there. So everyone had to stay in their housing if they weren't out of there by the night before. So if you lived there and you wanted to see the Pope, you had to find somewhere to stay. And there wasn't any like misplacement program. There wasn't
right,
any like stay for the night. Yeah, it was like stay for the night. And it was also you have male female dorms. So figure it out right. Within our realm of
yes,
be responsible.
Right.
But so that was always funny to see too, just because you could tell that it was like, oh, at this point, you go or you don't, or you stay in your room. So that was always funny to see.
And then where did the Secret Service stay? Which dorm were they in?
I'm trying to remember if they actually stayed on campus. I know they stayed. I mean, we're not supposed to know. but I know they stayed kind of everywhere. They were in dorms. They were in, we actually have the Bishop's Council right next door. So they were there. They stayed all over. And just to protect the Pope, I guess.
Yeah.
And how much media?
There was media all over the place. I can't even count. You would just look up at a rooftop across the street and there was like a camera over there and it was crazy. Photographers everywhere. Politicians walking around. So we had Secret Service actually everywhere because Newt Gingrich comes to Mass there every Sunday. So when the Pope was coming, you know, all of them came out. Joe Biden came out. Everyone who's anyone was out there, especially in D.C. You have all those high-profile individuals who just want to see the Pope.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, Karen.
Yes.
As I approach my launch date for Scottsdale, you are a business leader yourself. What would be your tips and tricks for, you know, just launching something completely new here?
Several things. And I know Joanne can help out as well. I'm already thinking about all these connections that I can make sure that you have. And I'm sure Joanne will have those introductions as well. I would do a press release. I would see if you can create a little interesting segment for our local media. And, you know, have somebody celebrate that with you and just social. You guys have grown up with social media, right? It's it makes such a difference. And, you know, when you were talking early on about being in Arizona, but also traveling all over and having these constant relationships, Joanne alluded to that, how important it is to have those relationships. I would make sure that you put it out on social media. It's funny. I celebrated my 6 month here at Business Radio X in this studio a couple weeks ago. And I had Red Bull come out with their promoters. My daughter's a Red Bull promoter and said, hey, can you hook me up and just have, because there's 95 people on this floor alone. And then there's Wells Fargo below us. And I just wanted to create some, you know, just little party for myself. And so I literally had Red Bull come out. They just passed out free Red Bull. And people got to know the studio because obviously we're in a closed door here. And I brought my banner out. I just created my own my own event and celebrated myself. I went home and joked that night with my husband. I'm like, well, everybody knows I'm there now. Right? So do what you can to make some noise, to celebrate. It's funny. I have a lot of entrepreneurs. And I think, Joanne, you and I have spoken about this as well. A lot of women in business in particular are often shy about self-promoting. And if there's one thing I would encourage, and you, I don't think you're going to have a problem with this. Clearly, you haven't yet. But don't be shy about putting yourself on the map and saying, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm up to. Here's how I can help. And self-promoting. I don't think you can self-promote enough.
Right. I agree 100%. And this is a great city. It's a great town. It's a fantastic state. And the great thing about Arizona, one of the great things is that everybody's from everywhere else. Like, and you're in a room, like yesterday when we were at a Central Phoenix Women meeting, I asked how many Phoenicians were in the room and only 4 people stood up out of a room of 50 people.
50 or 60 of us, yeah.
So it tells you that everyone's not from here. So you have that great, to me, I mean, there are several other cities, obviously, around the country. I did the whole, You know, I did what Timmy wants to do after college. I lived in New York. I mean, that's where I lived in Connecticut, but commuted into the city. You're right. When you're young and it's your first job, I mean, I would do that all over again. I worked for Dun & Bradstreet and fantastic. But I think when you go in knowing that everything's open for you.
And you had said that early on too, like, why not? I've done this before. I can do it again. Don't lose sight of that.
Yeah. And I think too, the other thing you have too is having, yes, it's metropolitan Phoenix, but that includes so many areas. I mean, you have the East Valley, you know, which is, I mean, go as far as Queen Creek and Apache Junction and Mesa and Gilbert and Chandler and Ahwatukee. And yes, Ahwatukee, you are Phoenix. even though they like to call themselves Ahwatukee, because we were like, I've never seen them on the map because it's Phoenix, Arizona. and then, you know, you have South Mountain, you have Tempe, and then you keep going north to Scottsdale, and you have then the West Valley, you have Glendale and Avondale and Buckeye and Litchfield Park, and it just goes, and Goodyear, and it just goes on and on and on, and it all becomes metropolitan Phoenix. So, you know, the sixth largest city in the United States is Phoenix, Arizona, and it's only getting bigger. And I think for women, this is such an amazing area and town and city and state. So just to let you know, we are the largest city in the United States that has both a female police chief and a female fire chief. And next year, in election year, we may have our first female mayor. Mm-hmm. Alongside a female police chief and a female fire chief. So just a great, that we are a very strong supporter of women, as well as we have also, a compliment to Timmy and to a lot of men, we have a lot of fantastic and amazing men who support the women in their endeavors. Someone you met today, Kathy Bua at East Valley Women, who was, whose business used to be formerly Kathy's Rum Cakes Caterers here in the Valley for many years that people know. I mean, Karen's mm-hmm. shaking her head. She knew everybody.
She did my wedding cake back in 91.
Yeah. So, aww. I mean, it's so, but here's the whole thing. When Kathy started her business and she shared the story as I had her speaker at one of our meetings, it was Eddie Basha's grocery store in the Valley, who she went to say, how do I do this?
Yep.
It was Chapman, I forget Mr. Chapman's first name, but who now, if you look around, has Chapman B&W, Chapman Chevrolet, Chapman, you know, she went to him and said, how would I do this? And they told her, okay, one, you need to be in Scottsdale. And that's how she ended, you know, you need to do this. But they really supported her and what her vision and her launch was. And I think we have that here in this market. I mean, the former CEO of Intel still lives in this great state. His wife, Barbara Barrett, is the former ambassador to Finland. We still have the former CEO of PetSmart, Phil Francis, and his wife, Nita Francis, who's a strong community. They're still here, even though they've been retired for a number of years. Arizona's their home. You know, we have one of the longest serving senators with Senator McCain, and we're all praying for him and his health right now. And, you know, and Cindy as well with her family being, so there's just so much here that have supported, you know, each other and made this state so great that the opportunity is limitless for you.
See, so that's the experience that's made coming here so unique, is when I got off that plane 3 months ago, I had no idea what to expect with Arizona. I was coming for a meeting and then I was leaving, and that was the end of my story.
Really?
And then everything changed, and I just kept meeting, you being one of them, just the most amazing, friendly people. And it was unlike any experience I'd ever had prior, and clearly I've lived all over the place. But it really opened my eyes, and I said, okay, well, I was never thinking about Arizona before. I'd never been here before, but this sounds like a great second location for my business, and I'm going to move here. I'm just going to do it.
I love it.
Do you love that?
I do. I hadn't realized that. The other thing that Joanne had mentioned, you know, just asking questions, how can you help me, or what's the best way to do this? The other one is, who do you know? I think that's a great question. Who do you know?
Right.
We and what is it, the 6 degrees of separation? Right. I think in Arizona, it's about 2 degrees of separation because everybody tends to know everybody. It's so fun. You know, I've got a screen above my head with some of our past guests. And every time we're in the studio, somebody says, oh my gosh, I saw so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so. And how do you know them? And it really is a close-knit Arizona community, both in politics as well as entertainment and executive leadership. It's really...
And business.
And business.
So this morning, what we learned at our East Valley Women's Meeting is Kathy Bua attended this morning. She still lives in Chandler, the home she bought with her husband, you know, years ago. The Sparkle Bar, which was our premier sponsor today. Well, little did they know that for 35 years, the same space that Kathy's Rum Cake caters is where the Sparkle Bar is.
Wow. I do remember hearing that from you.
Yeah, that was a great story. It's just like a great, you know, spot with a lot of positive energy because Sparkle Bar, they're fantastic. It's a great startup.
Yeah. You know, and we'll have them and we'll have them in here. And then yesterday at Central Phoenix Women and hearing Jane Spicer's story of Daphne's head covers.
That was absolutely incredible. I mean, it also showed, I was talking with a woman this morning at our meeting about how the path to success is not a direct path. She had to go up, fall down, go up, fall down, go up, fall down so many times to be able to find this point of some somewhat stability. And you know what? This isn't the end. She's going to fall down again. Yep. But now she's gotten so good at standing back up that she probably is so confident. There's nothing that will break me because I've gone through this so many times. But I think that's a huge asset to have when you're building a business is knowing this is not always going to be easy. There's going to be some major setbacks. There could be huge financial setbacks and you can come really close to failing. And maybe you will fail, but you've got to get comfortable with failure and being in
failure
a space.
Tolerant.
Failure tolerant mm-hmm. and being in a space of the unknown. So many people are so scared of, oh, well, if I do this, I don't know if X, Y, and Z. You just got to have that courage that I'm going to make the best of this and I'm going to work so hard and that's all I can do.
Yeah, you had said it earlier, resilience. Yeah.
Being more failure tolerant, I think, because what I always remind people is with failure comes success.
Right.
You can't have success without failure. So I think that's so important. And I know that Daphne's head covers, how many countries?
I think she said 47.
47 different countries around the world. And again, what I love is Phoenix is her home.
Phoenix is her home. But the only reason she decided to even think about going abroad was because the recession hit in 2008 and no one was golfing and like the economy completely tanked. Right. So there, if you're not golfing, you don't need a head cover. You're not thinking about the tiger, you know, keeping your golf club warm.
Right.
So then it forced her to think outside of the box and say, well, you know, abroad, people are still golfing in Ireland and
brilliant.
There we
yeah.
go.
Yeah.
And now her business is so much better off for having to endure that low point.
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
It is. It's a great story.
You know, so just those great, great, wonderful assets and people that we have here in Arizona, whether like for Timmy, where it started for him, and where Jessica, where it's bringing you to. And, you know, Timmy has some amazing connections. One, just from being in the community, he volunteered while at Brophy. But, you know, the friends and the opportunity, the experiences you've had because of who you met. I know being talked into his junior year for his videography class that they wanted to do it on the ocean. Well, I said, Timmy, we don't live by the ocean.
So how is that going out?
How is that going? Oh, yeah. Not only did he figure it out, he had two classmates who were also in his videography class at Brophy decided they needed to go to San Diego and do their for one day so they could do for one night so they could shoot their video and make it the best they could make it. I said, Timmy, you're not going to. And of course, one of them says, no, we have a place on Coronado Island. We can stay there. So I'm like, Timmy, you are not going there to do a find another topic. And what happened is that one of the other parents called me and said, no, the kids really need to go. And I said, but my son is going to go with your two daughters. And he was so funny. He's like, it's Timmy. He's like, if it was her boyfriend, I would say no, yeah. But it's Timmy. And share a little bit about, you know, you guys. And that was kind of the first time you all flew by yourselves.
How fun is that?
Yeah, I mean, that was my first time flying with them. But I flew by myself all the time when I was a kid,
right,
flying back and forth over the summers. But yeah, that was another thing where I know my parents, and I know that if I present them with just like, can I go to San Diego on Friday and come back Sunday? It's not going to happen. So I have to present a plan first.
Right.
So we got our like plan together and like presented it. And they were kind of just like, that's so ridiculous. Like, it's another one of those millennial things.
Then you brought in reinforcements.
Exactly.
I know how this, I have two kids. I have two at ASU. Exactly. I know how, and a 10-year-old on the way. I'm doomed with him.
Exactly. And I learned from my sisters. So you kind of learn as it gets passed on to you. But yeah, that was another thing of just like, this is something you have to make happen.
And I set them up with Scripps. So I had a contact at Scripps and said, hey, the kids will be going in.
Sweet.
So could they meet with someone and talk with someone? And he said, yeah. But I think the highlight of the trip is when he opened his friend's door in the morning. And who did you see across the hall? Who had the condo across the hall? Senator McCain.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
That was their, you know, it was like, random. Oh, hi, yeah. Just random. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
But that also taught you an important lesson on that. If you want to get something done, you've got to make plans for it. You can't just say, hey, this is what I'm doing. That just doesn't fly in
exactly.
life. You have to plan and you've got to put together, you know, some kind of strategy. I'm a huge advocate for strategic thinking and strategic planning.
Yes.
And being able to lead an efficient and effective lifestyle versus just, oh, I have this, I've got that, I've got this. Like, you know, you're hard pressed to find me frazzled. That's just not a state of being
that.
For me.
Yeah.
Yes.
With both of you. I am so, so impressed that we have these fantastic millennials here today and just the wisdom. Like I'm actually
have
blown
you learned?
Away. I have.
I know. So have I.
I have. I'm just, and it's taken, I'm 53 as of yesterday, and I'm just
happy
like,
birthday.
Yes. But and it's taken, you know, I've stumbled my way. I mean, you had mentioned, you know, you can reinvent yourself. I'm the queen of reinvention. I started off as an educator, third grade teacher, moved into administration, fell in love with business through Intel. And I mean, we don't know, it would take me another hour to talk about all the things I've done, but I keep falling into the new greatest aspect of my life, which I love. And this Business Radio X really is the culmination of everything.
I was just going to say, I've known Karen in the community, and this is truly the niche. This is truly...
It's everything it's everything that's come together, and it really is a blessing. So thank you both for being here. It truly is a treat to have you and have you new to Arizona. Have you landing and touching base, Timmy, before you head off into your career? And good luck with
finishing up
this last semester.
Thank you so
very
much.
Very exciting. And I have no doubt that things are just going to be the bomb for you.
Yes. And I'd like to say, you know, to everyone, thank you for listening to Ladies Leadership Circle in partnership with Phoenix Business Radio, with Business Radio X, as we hope today's show connected, inspired, and lead you to continue to be and do your best. Not the best, your best. Thank you, Karen Nowicki.
Absolutely.
And I'm Joanne Holland. Make it a great day and a happy and healthy holiday season.